If we have one more balloon this year, whatever this is, I tell you, I'm gonna move to the North Pole. The manager hasn't picked it yet. Where else don't they have allergies? The Gobi Desert. The Sahara Desert, I don't know. I'm glad I live in Michigan. I'm not complaining, would you? Okay? Alright, back. So this weekend is Priesthood Sunday. And I don't really talk about vocations all that often. But they're really important. Now, even if you are not a young, a single Catholic man, you know, thinking about the priesthood, it's actually really important to know because you know a young, single Catholic man. You know somebody who may be thinking about this or has never thought about this. But maybe they should. When I was in grade school or high school, I never once thought about being a priest. In my entire life, one time, has anyone ever said to me, have you ever thought about being a priest? One time. And it was after I was already a priest. It was before a daily mass, I was on vacation, so I was just like in, you know, shorts and a t-shirt, I don't even know what state I was in. And I was praying before mass, and this kind old lady came up and said, have you ever thought about being a priest? And I said, yes. Thank you for saying that. You're the first person ever to say that to me. And then I rested for mass, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, Father, I forgot to just thought you were in college or something. Now God's got a way of calling us. It's His call. And you don't have to be the one to necessarily be the voice of God, but at the same time, the voice of God comes through other people often enough. And the Holy Spirit might be able to nudge somebody. Because if you ask them, have you ever thought about being a priest, and they're not supposed to be a priest, guess what? There's no problem. There's no one. You're not doing some harm to their soul. If they are called to be a priest, if you ask them that, the Holy Spirit might nudge them as you ask. And then it's Him calling. And it's just an opportunity for you to speak a little bit more clearly. I think one of the most helpful things that for me was that in my life, I didn't have anybody who thought I should be a priest. It wasn't like, my parents said, he's the one who's going to be a priest. I know people whose parents were like, he's going to be the priest. That's horrible. Talk about a bunch of guilt that you don't become a priest. Like, what a bunch of awful pressure. I didn't have any of that. I was very blessed. But I did have the parents who wanted me to follow Jesus and be happy. Live your life as a disciple, no matter the cost. That is what it means to be successful. Also, move out and get a job eventually, but mostly follow Jesus and be happy. But it wouldn't have hurt, it wouldn't have killed me if somebody had asked me, like, have you ever thought about being a priest? Did anybody ever ask you that? When you're in seminary, what year? Second year of seminary, did you already know you were sure you were called to be a priest? Pretty much. Seminary. That's so great. Okay, it doesn't hurt, right? Were you scarred by that? No, I wasn't either. It's fine. The freedom that a young man might need to discern this, or a young woman considering religious life, is important. But to never think about it, I think it's a bit tragic, like me. Bit tragic. Now, Deacon Mark, he didn't grow up Catholic, as you know. He is a convert. I love Catholic, and I still never even thought about it. So, why am I saying all this? As a priest on Sunday, I was just asking a question like, well, what is the difference that the Catholic priesthood makes in the world? What a massive question, and I don't think that's going to be answered in this homily. But then I just started thinking, well, what's the difference the Catholic priesthood has made in my life? How do we even talk about that? But the grace of God's call in somebody's life in a very particular way, whatever that might be, is always going to be of profound benefit for others. And the first thing about the priesthood, of course, the most important thing, is that this person is a man for others. Now, this doesn't differentiate priesthood from any other vocation. All of them are a man or a woman living for others. That is to say, my life is not for my own sake. There is a homily by St. Augustine where he says, I'm a Christian for my own sake. I'm a pastor for the sake of others. He talks about how it's to my benefit that I'm a Christian. It's not necessarily to my benefit that I'm a pastor, by which he means, I'm not supposed to be the one getting something out of this. But as you know, anyone who lays down their life for another is going to be rewarded. That is actually an offering ourselves on behalf of others. And that we actually receive more. It's in giving that we receive, as Burr often said. What better way to offer yourself than for the salvation of souls? I never thought about being a priest because I was so sure that I was going to be a soldier. I'm so glad that I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm so glad that this is how I'm spending my life. Because I'm not going to get to the end of my life and say, darn it, I just wish I hadn't spent my life for the salvation of souls. I'm never going to say that. You're never going to say that. No young man is thinking about the priesthood. Should I say, no young man who has never thought about the priesthood has even considered that moment. Because if he had thought about that moment in his life, he would say, when I come before God, is that going to be a regret? I would say one of the interesting things about priesthood in America, I was looking at the numbers today, because I was like, well, everyone says we have a priest shortage, because we don't have a million priests around than we did in the 1950s. But do we really? It's all a bit relative, I suppose. In America, we have one priest for every 2,000 Catholics. Which sounds about right, if you think about it. One priest for every 2,000 Catholics. And I mean, that sounds about right, like that's plenty. It's not plenty. It's really not. But imagine if we had one doctor for every 2,000 Americans. And I mean, I'm talking like generalists and general practitioners and specialists. I think it's like one for every 200 or 300 doctors. And the priest is one for every 2,000. In Mexico, it's one priest for every 7,000 Mexican citizens. And there are over 50,000 parishes, I don't even know how they count this, but over 50,000 parishes around the world that have no resident priest. They just have a mission priest who travels around and brings the sacraments. We don't really have a priest shortage in the United States. And I don't know that we, that's perhaps a bad reason to say, oh, but that's what we need, so let's just encourage vocations, maybe, I guess, but it's the Lord who calls. But the point is, well, number one, my point is not that you have job security, which you definitely have. But the point is this, about Mexico or places in the world that don't have a path, they don't have a priest. You get the Father so and so, Father Rando will come in and randomly offer Mass for you. Maybe you've seen him before, maybe you haven't, but you hear the confessions, and then you get to be gone, which is a great gift, but then you might not see him again for another month. That's not unusual for us. Let's put that in perspective. 50,000 parishes around the world not having a resident priest. There are only 37,000 priests in the United States, so there's a lot of places in the world that don't have that. Why not? Is it because God's been calling so many? I think God's calling, but if flesh with us, that he unites himself to us in a profound and spiritually fruitful way, a way that nourishes our souls and gives us food for the journey as we walk this pilgrimage to heaven. We definitely have lost a sense of the importance of the sacrament of confession. And I know that a lot of people still have a sense of the sacrament and the anointing of the sick, especially when somebody's on their deathbed. But by then, sometimes, all of the other sacraments have been so de-emphasized that it's almost as if he doesn't even quite know what to do. And you can't always even get a priest at the last minute. And as I was asking the question, how does the Catholic priesthood affect my life? I did really not want to talk about that because I'm a priest, that's what I've been doing. And I was just thinking about, well, what if I wasn't a priest? And I can't do and it's a wonderful life for myself. But that's what I try to do. I'm like, okay, what if I wasn't a priest? Like, let's just do a meditation here. Like, come Holy Spirit. Jimmy Stewart prayer for me. And so I was just thinking about these times. Really, I feel like I would have missed out. But maybe these people would have missed out. I was thinking of a time where I was in, and these are all stories from Flint area. I just remember this one time very distinctly. It was the first time I could really appreciate going to the hospital with great Jesus. I do it all the time. Sometimes I just think, oh, yeah, let's just kind of get out of this. I got a bunch of stops today. And I don't see that as my most important stop today. And I remember asking the Lord, this matters to you, right? Because I'm driving all over the place trying to get the Eucharist to this person and that person. And I knew that it did, but I just wanted something. And I walked into the room, and this woman, she was dying. She was very, extremely restless. And she, like tossing around, trying to talk. She couldn't really talk very well. And she had been like that all day. And they knew she was dying. That's why they called me. I came in. As soon as I walked in the room, she calmed down. But what's interesting is I had been there earlier, but this time I brought the Eucharist. The moment I walked in, total peace. She was in total peace. Received Jesus in the Eucharist, received the anointing of the sin. And they told me later, they said, Father, you came in with the Eucharist. She went from being really, really restless to, even before she received, even before she knew I had the Eucharist, she was at peace. I think of a time where, and I could even tell, it was so palpable. I think it was a time where I got called. It was Easter Monday. And I got called to do an emergency confession. And Easter Monday, I was like, it's Monday. It's Easter Monday. It's time to catch up on everything I gave up for Lent. You know, Lent was taxing, so was the trail. Easter preaching is really important. I want a day off. But then I checked my voicemail. And I heard it all the way through, and I listened to who it was, who wanted to go to. And I have to call them back and say, wait, who is this? So-and-so wants to go to confession. Yeah, he wants to go to confession. Father, he wants to go to confession. To a Catholic priest. Yes, Father. That was amazing. I did not know. I don't know how weird that came from. Let's just say this wasn't somebody that I really thought but wanted to go to confession to a priest. He was Catholic. Totally. I can't talk about confession, obviously. Wow, it was powerful. It was a powerful moment of grace in this person's life, obviously. He died the next day, but he died reconciled with God. I think of all of the many times where that's happened. And these are just at the end of life things. Those are the first things that came up for me, which is interesting. Because I spent most of my priesthood ministry with them, especially high school students. And I think of the ways that There's no confession. There's no anointing of sin. And Jesus meets his people in many ways, but he gives a special grace to the sacraments. We priests here, very unworthy vessels of this reality, but we are conformed to Jesus Christ as head and shepherd, as the sort of the head and shepherd of the flock. All of us through our baptism, we are conformed to Christ. The priest is conformed to Christ as a shepherd with a special heart for protecting the sheep, for guiding the sheep, for feeding the sheep. We're all sheep, we all need protection and guidance. I need it too, and I get it from other priests as well as lay people too. But there's times where like there's a guidance there, there's a shepherding there that I need from my bishop. Or that I need from my spiritual father. And to think how important that is, what would I have done? How would my life look without that? It's not even really something I can imagine. And I think about, well, what if I wasn't? What if I wasn't a spiritual father to all my spiritual kids at the high school or here at our school? And I think, wow, I'm so glad, I'm so grateful that I could be a spiritual father to these kids. And in some cases, I know that God had that in mind when I was ordained. There are these particular people to whom you were going to be especially a spiritual father. And we will never lose that in the Catholic Church. But God's not going to let us lose a sense, a total sense of ourselves. But we should earnestly ask the Lord, we should earnestly be praying for more vocations, for holy, good priests. A lot of times I say, we don't need more priests, we just need good priests. We need to pray for holy vocations. God has been answering those prayers actually for many years, and he continues to answer them. I will definitely tell you, when I went to seminary, our seminary was good, very good. It's even better than it was then. But our priests, when I was ordained, we're amazing. We're unworthy, but women are good men. The priests that are coming out now, it's impossible for me to say anything other than they're even better. Except for the date marks. No, I'm totally kidding. The quality of young men, God is answering these prayers. But I'm saying this because we need to earnestly desire a renewal in the sense of the priesthood for the whole church. Just for like, what does a priest do? What is he do? Is he? And to ask the Lord, please call. May your call for these young men be clear. Because we need good shepherds. We don't need hired hands. Lord, we don't need some guy who needs to be important to himself or whatever. We need somebody who wants to follow you, and who can, and who will. To pray, to earnestly pray for that. And as well as to give young men a nudge, maybe, but also the greater freedom. Never pressure them. I would have been one of those guys that I couldn't handle the pressure. I would have gone the other way. Some guys can handle it, and they're like, yeah, I'm not. It doesn't bother me. But to give them a great freedom, not be afraid to ask somebody. And if they're thinking about it, if somebody ever talks to you about it, you'll be able to encourage them the more you have a deep sense of, gosh, I know what a priest is, and I know what they do. And without that, we don't have a church. Not in the full sense of the word. Of course, it's Jesus' church. It's his priesthood who is participating. And he's going to make sure that we have what we need. But on this priesthood Sunday, pray for more vocations. Of course, pray for priests. We we obviously need all the prayers that we can get. And the thing that I would say is, a lot of times, I guess I didn't know how good it would be as a priest. I just didn't know. I didn't know how joyful I would be. I think there is in the back of our minds that, like, oh, you're going to be really miserable in this life if you really follow Jesus, whatever that may be. If you really follow Jesus, especially if you're a priest or that or something, you're going to be really sad in this life, but you're going to be really happy in the next life. Garbage. That's not true. That's not even close to being close. The reality is, if God calls a young man to the priesthood, it's going to be the most joyful way he could live his life. And I can speak to that. And I will tell you this. My parents were afraid when I told them I was breaking up with my girlfriend in college, and I was thinking about being I was definitely called to settle this and I was thinking about being a priest. And they didn't discourage me, but they were afraid. But they're disciples. They always have with my parents. But there can always be a little bit of fear. Oh no, what if it's not happening? I want to say, there's no earthly reason a man would choose this. This is clearly not man-made. But there is a supernatural reason why God might call a man to do this. And if so, he's got good things for this young man, especially joy. It's impossible to follow Jesus and not be joyful in this life. And yes, in the life to come, yeah. But know that. Just know that. If there's a young man that you know who's thought about it, or haven't thought about it, or whatever, it's a life of joy. And that vocation, the call comes from God. You don't have to decide for that. You don't have to be the driver's seat. But don't be afraid, especially to pray. But also to talk about it. So to break up.